Well, good morning. My name is Jacob Smith. I'm the teaching pastor here at Southwood, and I want to welcome you to Grace. As we are beginning our time this morning, as we're about to open up God's Word to Luke chapter 2, to kind of get our minds stirring on the point of the passage this morning, we have a key question, or really a conversation prompt that I want you to read, and then I want you to answer it with maybe the people you just prayed with, a few people around you. But really, this morning in Luke 2, we see amazing news proclaimed to the shepherds, to Mary, to Joseph, to the town of Bethlehem. And so in line with that, I want you to think, what is a piece of good news that you can share with your neighbor? So it can be anything, right? It could be something in your life, something just about the world. Could be you're like, the polar bears are safe. I don't know. Like, whatever it is, think of a piece of good news, share it with your neighbor, and I'll draw us back in just a minute. Okay, so go ahead and share. Okay, that's it. That's all the news you get. All right, so hopefully it was good. Hopefully, if you're right in the middle of it, it's okay. You can tell them right after. That's fine, too. Or also, we've got kids in here this morning, so you could just keep talking through the message. It wouldn't really bother me. But this morning, we do have amazing news given to us in Luke chapter 2. So Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be. If you want to open your Bible and turn there or go there on your phone, Luke chapter 2. And what we see is amazing, incredible news that is presented and then multiplies through those that hear it. And one of the ways that we share amazing messages with one another here and now is really through social media, right? A lot of times we love to present good news digitally for all the world to see. And so this week I looked up what were the top most liked, shared Instagram posts of all time as of right now in 2024. Now, if you don't know, the number one most liked video, or sorry, post in all of Instagram is, in fact, our very own, the one and only hero of America, Lionel Messi, holding up the World Cup trophy. This has got 75 million likes on Instagram. But not only is this number one, but I was looking at really the top five, and sure enough, in those top five, four of those five all had Lionel Messi. It was Lionel Messi holding the trophy when he wins it. It's him holding it on the plane. It's him sleeping next to it because he's got something going on, right? He's trying to fill some chasm. But also, number two on the top, in the top five, it's not Lionel Messi. It is, in fact, egg. Egg is the number two most liked Instagram post of all time. It was number one for a long time until Lionel dethroned it. 61 million likes for egg. Now, you may remember that egg actually came about a few years ago when someone was just sort of on a whim, kind of as almost a parody or almost a takedown of social media in general, he says, you know, let's make this egg the most famous thing on Instagram. So he put up a picture of an egg. He says, let's all like this photo. And sure enough, world record egg has 61 million likes. This is great news, apparently, right? Because it's spread. And a great message like egg always multiplies. Good news is so naturally easy to share, right? That's why even just a moment ago when you were told, like, hey, let me think of a piece of good news to share with my neighbor, hopefully you didn't have to search for too long in your mind, right? Because great messages are made to multiply, right? Good news is easy and quick and accessible to share. This is what we see in Luke chapter 2, is that a great message is delivered to the people of God. It's delivered to the community in Bethlehem, and that message immediately begins to multiply. This is what we see in Luke chapter 2. Read with me in verse 1, where we see that in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus to register all the empire for taxes. And this was the first registration taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to be registered. All right, so in Luke chapter 2, we begin with Luke really grounding the account in history. This specificity about people and events this is really so incredibly unique. This is almost unheard of in religious, ancient religious texts. This is one of the things that's so unique about our scripture, is that Luke, as he's giving this historical account, he uses these verifiable events and names. And he says, this is when it happened. This is the exact time and place when these things came about. It was during the time when Quirinius, everybody remembers Quirinius, old crazy Quirinius, right? Like, it was during his time as governor. That time when Caesar said, everybody's got to move, right? For tax purposes, he needs everyone to go and be registered. And so Joseph, verse 4, also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David. So Joseph knows, okay, I've got to go to my hometown to be registered for taxes, right? Even though taxation is theft, he says, I'm just going to participate in it. I'm going to be a good citizen. And so he travels 90 miles, not by himself, but in fact, he went to be registered with Mary, who was promised in marriage to him and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So here we see the beginning of this incredible account of the birth of Jesus Christ. Right, if you were with us last week, we talked about, Ben Biles was up here and he was preaching about how the prophecies were being fulfilled, that new prophecies were coming into being, were coming into the people of God about the forerunner, John the Baptist, about Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so here it's finally being fulfilled. Jesus is born and he's laid in this humble spot, right, in a manger. Literally the Greek term is this feeding trough, right, a glorified pet bowl. Like that's where Jesus initially sleeps. And so this moment is incredible. This moment is so magnificently important that Luke doesn't actually dwell on the actual birth, right? This is like one verse. Like he's just like, he's born and they wrapped him up and they put him in a manger. Like that's all he says. Because immediately what Luke is going to do is he's going to move into not just the event itself, but he's going to move into the message that event sparks. He's going to move into how this good news began to spread. And this is why in the very next verse, verse 8, he says that now there were shepherds nearby living out in the field, and they were keeping guard over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were absolutely terrified. Absolutely terrified. Now, Luke is moving and he's shifting the focus, right? The camera's panning over to these shepherds in a field, which is very unexpected, right? This is a great, incredible message that you would expect to be declared in temples or in kingly courts. But yet, Luke is saying the first time that this message is really going forth, the first big proclamation of this good news, it's occurring to shepherds, which is really significant because in that time, in that society, shepherds were considered kind of a lower class, right? Because they were, because of the nature of their work, they were considered by the Jews to be ceremoniously unclean. Ceremonially unclean. And also on top of that, generally shepherds were seen as sort of an untrustworthy group. Like scholars, other evidence, like extra biblical evidence talks about how shepherds were kind of seen as like these shifty dudes. It's kind of like when, you know, the carnival posts up at Post Oak Mall. And you kind of go there, your kids want to go there, and you're like, I don't know, I don't really, it's a little shifty, right? It's a little, you know, people have hooks for hands, and you're like, what? You know, and that's a lot of eye patches, right? And you're like, I don't know, like there's just a little kind of a vibe that's going on that I don't quite trust. This is how people felt about shepherds. They're like, man, I don't know if I really trust these guys. I don't know if I can really, you know, rely on them. And yet they're the ones that are suddenly introduced to this incredible news by an angel of the Lord, right, who appears in glory in the skies. And even though they're terrified, the angel begins to speak and he tells them in verse 10, he says, do not be afraid. Listen carefully, for I proclaim to you good news that brings great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior is born in the city of David and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. For you, you will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. The angel says, you don't need to be terrified. In fact, not only should you not be terrified, you should rejoice. I'm bringing to you this incredible message that is good, that is joyful for all people. Right? The angel is coming. The Greek term for angel is angelos. And it's this idea of someone being a proclaimer or a messenger. And he says, I'm coming to you with good news, this great news. And here, the Greek term for that, for this proclaiming of great news, has angel in the middle of it. It's euangelizomai, right? There we go. And so he's saying, I have come to you to bring to you, I am the proclaimer, and I am proclaiming to you incredibly good news. It's the amazing news that your Savior is born, Christ the Lord. Literally, this means he is the Messiah God. Messiah God has come, and he's bringing to you peace, right? He's bringing to you this incredible news. And not only is the one angel declaring this, but then suddenly a vast heavenly army appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased. All of a sudden, an army of angels appears, and they're not waging war, but they're proclaiming peace. And biblical peace is so much more than just the ceasing of hostility, right? The biblical idea of peace comes back to the Hebrew term shalom, which is not just the end of hostility. It is, in fact, the fullness of God's blessing. It is all things are as they should be. The angels, this army is coming, and they are proclaiming that peace, that shalom, that the good blessing of God is now here. This is the work of Jesus Christ, that he would bring peace. Again, not just forgiveness of sins, although that is part of it, but Christ in his mercy, in his power, has brought to us not just forgiveness of sins, not just an end of hostility between us and God, but Jesus Christ brings the full righteousness of God that is then imparted to us if we trust in him, right? This is the good news of our gospel, that while we were still sinners, while we were in open rebellion against the God who made us and loves us, while we were his enemies, dead in our transgressions, Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven and onto earth to live the perfect life that none of us could live, to die the death that we deserved, to rise again on the third day, proving his power and authority over sin, over death, over these enemies that held us captive. So now anyone who calls on his name might be saved. Anyone who trusts in his finished, completed work is now adopted out of sin and death into the family of God as sons and daughters of the Lord Most High by grace, through faith in him. And we are not only no longer enemies of God, but we are now his beloved children. We are now people who belong to a heavenly Father who loves us, who cares for us, who provides for us, and who gives us purpose in life. This is the peace of Jesus Christ. This is the power of our gospel. So the shepherds are told this amazing news, and immediately after the angels leave, they say to one another, we've got to go, right? Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us. So they hurried off, and they located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger, just as the angels told them. They say, wow, this is true. This is, in fact, good, verified news. And when they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So as soon as the shepherds verify the message given to them by the angels, as soon as they verify this amazing, magnificent message, immediately after that proclamation, after that verification, they say, it's time to share, right? They suddenly become the multipliers. They become their own proclaimers of this good news. When it tells us that they were sharing, where they related what they had been told, this term in the Greek, it means this very public, very decisive, deliberate proclamation. So these quiet shepherds now became outspoken, bold evangelists, telling all that would listen about this child. And as they're sharing this good news, what's interesting here in the text is that we're not told whether or not others believed, Right? We only know that their response, we don't know if it's belief, we don't know if it's unbelief. What we know the response is it's astonishment. It's amazement. They may be asking the same questions the shepherds initially asked of, can this be true? Does the Messiah really come? But the shepherds, they weren't concerned about the exact response. They know, hey, the response is up to between them and God. But the shepherds knew that their role, their position, their purpose and mission was to simply proclaim this good news. All of a sudden, this proclamation is leading to multiplication. Not only verbally, not only bringing others into the mix, but even in Mary herself, right? We're told that Mary is now treasuring these things up. She's pondering. Literally, the term here, it means to bring the pieces together. She's connecting the dots. And she's considering, what does this mean? How is the Lord fulfilling the promise that he gave to me months ago? That I would, in fact, bear the Son of God. So there's not just a multiplication externally, but there's a multiplication occurring internally where she is now wrestling with this incredible truth that the Messiah God, that Christ the Lord has come. And as she's sitting there pondering, imagining what this means, the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, for everything was just as they had been told. The shepherds continue this work of multiplication. They continue this work of proclamation. They continue this work of spreading the great message that Jesus Christ is born. And this is still the purpose, the work, the goal of every single person who has encountered Jesus Christ. Many of us here this morning have put our faith in Jesus Christ. We have trusted in his life, death, and resurrection. We trust that he is the one that has gained our salvation. He is the one that provides forgiveness of sins, righteousness from God. He is the one that reconciles us with our Heavenly Father. He is the one that has given us eternal life by grace through faith in him. For those of us that have believed in this, for those of us that have trusted in his saving work, we now have the same purpose to multiply, to proclaim this incredible message. Just as the shepherds, they beheld the child. They saw the truth of God's salvation for the world, this incredible message of peace. We too, we have seen and experienced, we have acknowledged, and we have believed in this message of peace from God. Therefore, we go. This is what we see in the lives of the early followers of Jesus. The Apostle John, in his first letter, he says that this is what we proclaim to you. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have looked at, and what our hands have touched. Right? Just like the shepherds, John is saying, we also have seen, we've touched, we've heard, we've experienced salvation through Jesus Christ. We've seen the Messiah God who has come to save the world. And this is concerning the word of life. And the life was revealed, and we have seen and testify and announced to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. Again, just like the shepherds, he says, we now see this incredible word of life. We see the gift of salvation, and we have to proclaim this to you. What we have seen, what we have heard, we are now announcing to you too, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, we're telling you this so that you would be a part of this community, so that you would join us in this beautiful new family dynamic created through Jesus Christ. And thus, we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Right? A joy shared, a victory shared is always multiplied. It says, we are telling you these things so that we might fulfill the joy, so we might complete the joy that we have found in Jesus Christ. And church, this is our same calling. This is our same mission, our same goal. This is why we prayed that across our city, across our community, that people would come to know the saving power of Jesus Christ as they gather in the Christmas Eve services in just a few days. This is why. Even this morning, I would encourage all of us to first and foremost ponder, just like Mary, right? Let's ponder and reflect upon the amazing gift that God has given us. Maybe some of us have never trusted in Jesus Christ. Some of us still aren't sure of where we are kind of in that decision process. We think maybe I need to earn my way to the Lord, or maybe I can just be a good enough person. But the truth is that we should ponder and reflect on the fact that we in and of ourselves are unable to fix our lives, to fix our world, that we in and of ourselves cannot build our own tower or path or bridge to God. But God in his mercy has given us the gift of eternal life, not because we earned it, not because we deserved it, but because he is gracious and merciful. So he's given us Jesus Christ. Some of us need to ponder and reflect upon that incredible gift. And others of us, we need to consider not just how do we reflect, how do we rejoice, how do we ponder, but we should consider how do we proclaim? How do we go forth? How do we share this incredible news? Maybe it's investing in other people in our family or friend groups. Maybe it's people that we're in small groups with here in the church. Maybe it's people that have already believed in Christ, but they need the encouragement that comes through community. Maybe it's people that are outside of our church. It's people outside of the family of God that we should be quick to share with them the hope that we have in Christ. One of the amazing things about the Christmas season is that things kind of slow down in College Station, right? Things are a little bit more chill. Like there's some empty seats in here. Whoa, okay. Like there's some space you can spread out. First class. But my hope, my prayer, is that we would see these empty seats and that we would begin to pray. And this is something we're coming back to in the spring as we continue walking through the book of Luke. But I want us to see these empty seats, not as more legroom, but I want us to see them as opportunities to pray that God would fill that seat. Let's pray for the empty seats. Let's pray for those people that God brings to our mind that also should hear, should believe, should enjoy the incredible life that is found by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray that God would bring those people to himself, that God would use us to proclaim the good news, to invite them in. Let's pray that God would work in the hearts and minds of others, that we would fulfill this mission of proclamation, this mission of multiplication, just as the shepherds did. So as we close our service this morning, we are going to have an Advent candle, as we have over the last few weeks. As you know, this is our Advent season where we look back and we rejoice in the first appearance, the first coming of Jesus Christ. And we do this because we recognize that not only has Christ come, but he is returning one day. And so while we await his second coming, while we await his return in glory, we praise God for the time when Jesus came thousands of years ago in this humble form of a baby. And so the Neal family is coming up, and they're going to be sharing with us what it is exactly that we are celebrating this morning with our Advent reading.
Hi, we're the Neal family. Stacy, my husband Gabe, children Evelyn, Maeve, Garrison, Samuel, and Aiden. Today we celebrate that the good news the angels proclaimed to the shepherds on the night of Christ's birth was indeed true, for they found the baby lying in a manger just as it had been foretold. Astonishment and praise went forth from those gathered at his birthplace because the heavenly joyous announcement to the shepherds had come to pass exactly as they found. Just as the shepherds did not wait to act on the news that they were given, may we with great urgency seek Jesus and follow him to the praise and glory of God.
I'll be reading Luke 2:15-20. When the angels left them and went back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, that the Lord has made known to us." So they hurried off and located Mary and Joseph and found the baby lying in a manger. When they saw him, they related what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were astonished at what the shepherds said. But Mary treasured up all these words, pondering in her heart what they might mean. So the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Everything was just as they had been told.
Praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we praise you that as the Word became flesh and to dwell among us, your Word went forth through the angelic hosts to the lowly shepherds, heralding the arrival of the Good Shepherd. Holy Father, we praise you for choosing shepherds on watch by night to welcome into the world the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Loving Father, forgive us for our silence. Help us to believe your word and boldly proclaim Christ the Lord, our Savior, and his return as the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Holy Spirit. Amen.